For a lot of people, the dream of fame and wealth may sound appealing. However, the reality may not be as glamorous as we make it seem. We want to be famous because we aren't, but a lot of notable celebrities have said that they lose their autonomy and freedom to go out in public without being treated as more than a human. That's a stressful life, perpetuated by stressful expectations. Welcome to Let's Get to Know Each Other, a podcast hosted by me, Tanner DeVore. In today's episode, we get to know Evie, someone who isn't seeking fortune, nor fame, but nevertheless has been a ghostwriter slash ghost producer for a few famous artists. We get to know why she doesn't want to make it into her career, as well as learn about her passion for Midwestern sled dog racing. That's right, the Midwest has sled dogs. They just hibernate for 3 seasons out of the year, so we rarely see or hear about them, I guess, I'm not really sure. I was just as confused as you are, but on to the episode. Hello, Evie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
How's your full name pronounced?
Evgenia.
Evgenia?
Evgenia, yeah. It's a Greek name.
Greek?
Yeah, so my family's from Greece, so I got blessed with the Greek name.
Well, it's a cool name, and Evie's a cool nickname.
Yeah.
So you are not the first to approach me, but the first person to not like have a class with me or anything or know me personally. So how did you hear about the podcast? Why did you come on here?
Well, there was a flyer and my friends basically said, you need to do this. And so they kind of peer pressured me here. And so now here I am.
When they peer pressured you, so I'm assuming that, and we had talked a little bit because the power actually went out right as we were setting up and had to wait for this computer to reboot for like 20 minutes. So we talked a little bit already, but you said that they said that you have really good stories.
Yeah.
Did they specifically mention any of them to you? Like, did they say you should go on this podcast because you could talk about this or you could talk about that?
Oh, they listed a bunch of them. They're like, here are your topics. And that's, yeah.
Okay. Is there one that you wanted to start with specifically? Otherwise, I could ask.
I mean, you go for it.
Okay. Well, I know that you... Well, let's just start with this. Just the attention grabber. So you write music.
I do write music, yeah.
You do. And... do you play instruments?
Yeah, I can play 14 instruments.
Oh, name the 14 instruments real quick.
So my first instrument is flute, guitar, bass guitar, piano, saxophone, drums. So like any percussion. I was in drumline in high school. I also play the banjo a little bit. I'm trying to think of all the instruments in my room right now. Mandolin, ukulele, I've played the trumpet before. I can do a mean recorder from third grade. And,
I can play hot cross buns.
Yeah, hot cross buns. It's definitely a good one.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the other ones here. Basically a lot of percussion instruments. And anything with a string on it. So like violin, cello, bass. I noticed that. A lot of
string instruments.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Bass guitar. Yeah.
Bass
definitely.
Guitar. Why? Just how it sounds?
I like how it sounds, but I also like that in a lot of music, like you hear it, but nobody like is really like, there's no bass solos.
Yeah. You don't pay attention to it.
So nobody pays attention to it. But if you took it away, it would be like a completely different song.
Right.
So I like that it's a core.
Flea has solos from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That is true. But
sorry. If that was heard in the microphone, that was my neck. And I'm sorry. I might take it out or I might leave it in if it's clear enough. Because if it's a clear sounding crack, I kind of want you to
like
hear
that.
It because it felt really good.
People like that nowadays.
Okay, so what do you do with this music that you write?
Well, so I started just writing it like whatever. It was just a way to just write things out. And then I found a website where you can like it's a bunch of different artists, and you can post, like, you can record your music. So, like, my brother moved out, and I turned his room into a recording studio, as one does naturally. Mm-hmm. And
naturally.
And so I had been recording music, and so then I went on this website, and it's a bunch of different artists that are making music, and it gives you opportunities that you can apply to. And I had posted a couple of my songs on there, and that had gotten decent feedback, and I was like, okay, that's cool. And then one day in class, I was sitting there, and I got an email from a pretty decent artist asking,
would I know this artist if you said their name?
You definitely would.
Would I know them enough to name songs?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Most people, yeah. So,
but obviously you can't say, because it's a ghostwriting situation.
Yes, yep. It is a ghostwriting situation. And yep. So I was very fortunate to be emailed by the artist and their team. So I got to, they basically said, can you write 3 songs? And we can just like look at them. So I did, I wrote 3 songs, and they said, we really like these songs. So the artist actually had a conversation with me about the songs, and we talked about them and broke them down. And the artist was like, this isn't necessarily.
So you even talked to the artist.
Yeah.
This artist that everybody here knows and is probably bumping all the time.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. So I hate you.
It's not a big deal.
Oh, continue. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. So basically I just. They gave me some feedback, and they gave me some feedback, and I was able to kind of start to like fine tune, I guess, my songwriting. And
right.
I've sold a couple of songs, sometimes just the lyrics, sometimes it's like just like the mix, the instrumentals.
Right.
So it just depends. And sometimes it's just they buy the whole thing, they just use a segment. It just depends.
Are you, you don't have to answer this question. I can even take out this part of me asking this question, because I know that's super personal, but could you share how much you got, since this artist is really big, could you share how much you got paid for it?
Yeah, so I didn't actually get to sell a song to this artist. So okay. It was kind of cool. Originally, that was kind of what we were thinking, but I really enjoyed the opportunity of getting to work with the artist and write with them. So I guess the payment I got was really experience and like getting to sit down and be like, this is like songwriting.
And a super cool story for in like 5 years when it doesn't matter and they're not going to like sue you.
Right.
And you can start telling people
maybe
about
not
it.
Five, maybe like maybe, 10. Maybe but 10.
I had another question that was related to it. Oh, have we heard one of the songs that you've written, or has it been made? Has a song been made?
So a couple songs have been made with like some lyrics and then some like background like instrumentals, and so yeah. So those are pretty. I'm not obviously like you said ghostwriter situation. So
right, no, I wasn't
my name's gonna, not attached to any of them, which is fine by me.
Yeah, and I wasn't gonna ask which.
No,
songs,
yeah, but so I mean it depends on. I mean, some people might have heard a couple things that I have worked on a little bit.
That's really cool. No. I wish I could know, but I know that even if I turned this off, you still wouldn't tell me.
That is probably true.
Probably.
There's hope.
Okay, so we'll see
if this goes well.
I'm okay at keeping secrets. If they're important enough, I keep them pretty consistently. What other kind of interests do you have besides music? I know that we talked a little bit about your dog.
Yeah, so I have a dog. His name is Meatball. He's an Alaskan Malamute. So he turned 1 in May. So he's about 1.5. And, well, not really, but yeah. And he's huge. He's still growing. He's I think we just hit like 80 pounds.
Oh wow!
So he's a big boy.
Yeah.
So we weren't supposed to keep him. We actually got him in August of last year. My mom works for the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. So like the sad puppy commercials.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah. That is not my mom. People ask that a lot. She's not
if
my
Sarah
mom.
Sarah McLachlan's your mom, I wasn't going to ask that question.
Well, a lot of people ask. So just putting it out there. But yeah, so they, an animal shelter reached out to us and said, hey, we have a puppy. He's 4 months old. We need somebody to foster him because if puppies grow up in like a shelter environment, then, you know, it could be, it could have some serious and permanent effects on their personality when they become an adult dog or when they get adopted out.
Right.
So he was part of a cruelty case. So they found him and 3 other puppies along with like 4, I think, adult dogs and like locked in a shed.
Oh.
Yeah. So they rescued them from that situation. And obviously they sued the person that owned the animals.
Good.
Especially because they found some dead ones on the property.
Oh,
so.
My God.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. I have a puppy named Milo. Well, I don't. My parents do at my house. But he was... He's like 5 months now, and he's a German Shepherd mixed with what we think is a Whippet because he's kind of got like a Whippet head. He looks goofy. He's got big ears. But he was abandoned on the streets of Missouri, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know this, but Missouri is like there's a lot of mistreatment of animals or like abandoning dogs and pets and stuff. And so... Did you mention what Meatball does?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Okay, so that was the story that I wanted to tell you about Milo, but I want you to tell your story about Meatball.
So, yeah. So, when the court case ended, we decided to adopt Meatball. More like I told my mom, I'm adopting this dog. And she didn't have a choice. But we started with some basic training. And then, you know, I wanted to kind of go back to the roots of, like, dogs. He was very hyperactive and I wanted to give him a job.
Right, because they've got it ingrained in them that they have tasks that they do.
So,
and instincts. Yes.
So I got him into sled pulling.
Right. Which is like the what's it called? The Iditarod? Yeah, the Iditarod.
So the Iditarod is actually a speed race.
Did you do a rod?
I did not do a rod.
Oh, okay.
No. So those are for speed. With the way Meatball is built, he's not slim enough for speed, but he's very built, maybe. And so he can pull heavy weights. And so basically, there's a whole training process. You don't want them to start pulling before they're 6 months old or you'll cause some damage, but... When he turned about 6 months, we started just putting some harnesses on him and letting him pull things around if he wanted to. And so he loved it. And I did some research and we have they call it a mentor from the Midwest sled dog pulling team. And so they kind of worked with us a little bit on the purpose and like why we were doing what we were doing. So we've also seen a competition where the sled dogs pull. I mean, it's like 8,000 pounds. This dog, this like champion dog, she was like insane. She was huge.
I got to look up. I have to see what 8,000 pounds. I know someone's pulled a truck heaviest. I'm going to cut this part out until I find the answer. I typed in heaviest object pulled by human. My instinct wasn't to write pulled by man. And I think that's progress in society. I immediately went to human.
Good for you.
I know. Thank you. It was a man, though. Kevin Fast pulled a CC177 Globemaster 3 weighing 188.83 tons. So yeah,
That
beats the dog. And I was expecting that it'd beat the dog, but I really wanted the dog to be stronger than the human.
The dog is stronger than this human, so...
Yeah, both.
Both combined.
Humans. Yep. Yeah, combined. Both humans in this room combined. So have you done any races then with
we have
them,
not
or just training right now?
Right now we're just training. So we have not competed yet, but the plan is to.
Is there like a set or an estimated time? Like, is there a competition that you know of and you're kind of like preparing for it and hoping that maybe you'll be ready by then?
So the Midwest trials are usually in like December.
Naturally.
And so when it's snowing. So that's when the trials are. But basically right now we have to just do an assessment in November and see would he make the team or would he not. And
right.
So that's the decision we'd have to look at. And then if he doesn't, he can continue training and they do a bunch of different tryouts later on in the year. So like they do it in January and February. And then you can also then retry again the next December and after that.
Gotcha. Okay. What I was going to tell you about Milo was that my neighbors, I hope I didn't say this on the last episode. I can't remember, but my neighbors recently got chickens and we've always had a German Shepherd except my last dog, Chloe. She was a yellow lab, but we've always had German Shepherds other than that. And or other than her, and they'll get anxious. They like to kill things in the yard. So I know that like they were bred to have jobs, and they were bred to herd, you know, watch over sheep. And this chicken, our neighbor started getting chickens, and my mom was telling me stories about how they would jump the fence, and then like they'd come over and ask for their chicken back. And it never happened to me, but over the summer I was watching the dog for 5 days while my parents were taking my sister to her college. And I was walking my dog outside, just like letting him use the bathroom. And then we were walking back and I was going along the side of my garage and I turned to the right where the garage door would be, like where it would open. And there was a chicken right in front of me and it clucked super loud and it scared the shit out of me. And I recovered because I was like, it's a chicken. It's not going to do anything to me. But I was like, what am I supposed to do? Because it was the middle of the day.
Right.
Because I wasn't working. So it was like 2:00. The family is gone. They're at work and the kids are at camp or whatever, wherever they go. So I'm like, I'm not going to pick it up. It might poke me with its mouth part. So what I did was, I was like, well, I've got this German Shepherd on a leash. Let's try this. And so I have him like approach the chicken and he's not looking aggressive or anything. And he starts sniffing it and he has he doesn't want to bite it. He doesn't want to kill it or anything or even play with it, but he's sniffing it and he's intrigued by it. So he starts following it and I'm like, oh yes. And so the chicken's running away from him and I'm keeping him on track with the chicken, following the chicken with the leash. And I get him back, I get the chicken back to the fence and it starts hopping over and eventually it makes it. And that was the day that I became a sheep herder. I
chicken herder?
Well, yes, a chicken herder. I felt like a farm boy, even though I was in a suburb, like neighborhood. Yeah. Like Ralph from Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
That is a coming full circle moment for you.
Yeah.
And is that when you switched your major to agriculture?
No. But that's when I decided, oh, Milo's job to keep him occupied so he's not killing everything that comes in our yard is he will make sure that the chickens stay away.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Does he do a good job at that?
I haven't heard them jumping the fence as of recent and I haven't been home. But if that's the case, then maybe it was because of him. Because we got him pretty recently. So the chickens, he's new to them. So maybe they're like, oh, we got to stay away from that. We've got big, scary 20-pound puppy.
Yeah.
We also talked about before the recording started that you taught kids. What did you mean by that? First, how old are you?
I'm 21.
21. Okay, so
yeah.
What did you teach
kids? I was a camp counselor this summer, And so I did a lot of teaching, leading activities and whatnot. And I will not lie, when I finished my week, we did 5 weeks, different sessions each week. And when I finished my week with 12-year-old girls, I called my mom and I apologized for anything that I ever put her through. I felt so bad. They were, it's not that they were bad kids. It was just, you know.
It's just that they were kids.
They created a disease. They really did. They called it fake smile. And it's where you smile even though you're not really happy to make other people happy.
They did that at camp?
Yeah, they did that at camp. It was this huge revelation for them.
That sounds so wholesome, but it started out like it wasn't going to be.
They were just crying and talking about it, yeah. And I asked them why they were crying, and they were like, because we all have fake smile. And I was like,
oh.
I don't know what to do.
Interesting. Huh, I wonder if that's like a result of being young during a pandemic.
Maybe.
That now they've got sickness on the mind. But we had cooties back then, too. So I don't, who knows? It could just be, yeah. I'm not going to talk as much because it's about you, but I just to let you know that I taught martial arts from, well, I did it ever since I was a kid, but I started teaching at 16. I would help out before that, but then once I got my black belt, I started like being an instructor that could teach a class on his own. And I was teaching anyone from like 4 years old. I think the youngest that person that I've taught was 3. And then all the way up to in like mid-50s.
Wow.
Which isn't a child anymore. But do you have any fond memories of the kids, of the girls that you were with?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because they're great. Kids are crazy.
They're great. There's like the moments where you just kind of want to take a nap.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's just like so many fond memories of just kind of seeing them interact with each other. And I think, you know, this summer recently, like they'd just come out of online school for the most part. And so to see them being able to interact with each other was like really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It is cool. 'Cause we had virtual classes and then we went back to in person, and I taught over the summer before I came back to school. And so these kids were pretty much new to me, because I hadn't taught for a while before that. So I got to know them over the summer, and I had this one 5-year-old named Miles and then this 6-year-old named Christopher. And the 6-year-old Christopher introduced himself to me as, "Hello, I'm Christopher. I'm 6, but I used to be 5. And I said, "Oh, me too." And I said, "Did you turn 5 or did you turn 6 recently?" And he said, "No." And I was like, in my head, I was like, well, then what was the relevance of that part? But it's just kids. And one day Christopher just said, no one was talking. Everyone was kind of like working on what I was having them work on. And Christopher just said the word mango. And then Miles, the 5-year-old, just fell to the floor and laughed so hard that he started to cry. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, I mean,
he said the word mango for no reason.
Mango.
And that was enough to make Miles just die laughing. So I'm curious as to what Generation Alpha, what their humor is going to look like. Because our Generation Z, it's pretty weird. Because
we ate Tide Pods.
Well, yeah. And we just grew up. I remember a time before the internet. I'm old enough. I'm a 97 boy. Once the internet really became widespread, like it opened my horizon. Like when my friend showed me YouTube, oh my God, it expanded my horizon so much. I was no longer exposed only to classic rock music. And I could watch like things with bad words in them made by high schoolers. Getting back to my point, they're Generation Alpha. They're born and like if their parent is busy, boom, iPad right in front of them.
Right.
They can see anything, anytime that they want, anywhere that they want. And I'm just curious to see how that's going to turn out, because I'm going to go online and I'm just going to see like a picture of like a screw that's distorted and like colored differently, like vaporwave.
Yeah.
And just tons of comments that I don't understand.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it's kind of insane how that is working right now. To see, I'm a communication disorders and sciences major.
Okay.
And so we talk a lot about like kids and developing language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to see like the difference between kids who watch shows that are just like nothing and kids that like have some educational shows that they watch, but like their parents like talking to them all the time.
Right.
Is like one has.
It's huge.
Yeah. A huge vocabulary. Huge.
Yeah, I know, but. I wonder if they start talking sooner, if they're always watching something. But then also you're creating a child that can't go without any sort of stimulation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm intrigued. We got off on a little bit of a tangent, but your friends did, you said that they did specifically mention stories that you should tell. You want to, mm-hmm. What would one of them be?
Well, we just talked about mango.
Okay.
I'm actually allergic to mangoes.
Ah, so you would not have laughed.
I would not have laughed.
You would have said, Christopher, get out.
I would have. Yes. I would have said, bye, Christopher.
And I would have said, you can't. You can't tell him that. I'm in charge.
Right, yeah. I probably would have cried. But no, I found out right before my high school graduation. I had been eating them my whole life. And then I ate one and just... like my face blew up.
Allergies can change every 2 or 5 years. I don't remember what my allergist, allergist.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. I don't know what they told me. It's either 2 or it's 5 years, but they change.
Right.
Yeah. So you could be allergic or not allergic to something. And then boom, one day you're allergic to it.
Yeah. And so I like had a reaction. And so now I can't eat mangoes, which, you know, but my brother, he had a shellfish allergy. Couldn't eat shrimp or anything like that. He's fine now, so
right.
We'll see.
Work through a system.
Maybe I can... Have you seen there's this girl on TikTok, and she like...
I have not seen TikTok.
Oh,
I don't go on TikTok. I have one, but I don't go on TikTok.
There's a girl, and she was allergic to carrots, and she tried to train the allergy out of her, like become immune to the carrot allergy.
Well, did it work?
I'm not really sure. I didn't follow it.
Okay. All right.
But it would just show up. Interesting. On occasion, yeah.
If you eat too many carrots, your skin turns an orangey color.
Does it? Yeah, is it the keratin?
There's not keratin in carrots.
It's carrot in your body.
Okay, well.
Orange.
It's a good pun. I didn't catch the pun. I'm sorry. It's a good pun. It's like my Iditarod pun. But or I guess that would have been more of wordplay. But... You got me so off track. What was I gonna say?
You were talking about how carrots make your skin orange.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you eat too many of them, it's got to be a whole lot though. You'll feel sick before you get to that point. But yeah, there's been people that have eaten carrots or drink carrot juice all the time, and because they think that it'd be healthy for them, and then their skin starts to turn orange, and it's also not very good for you. It turns out if you drink a lot of anything. Your liver and kidneys aren't really proud. They're not happy. They're not feeling good. Except if it's, well, no, even water. Water, you can drown yourself by drinking too much water and flooding your kidneys. So.
Yeah, people die all the time.
Everything in moderation, people.
Everything in moderation.
Yes. So you're allergic to mangoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's another story that they wanted you to say.
I mean, they did want me to talk about the music recording. So we
of
did
course.
Get that. They were actually in class with me when it happened, like sitting next to me when I got that.
Do they know who it was?
They do know who it was. I think for a good like 10 minutes, like I just couldn't talk. And that's
crazy.
Yeah. And they were just like, something's wrong. And I was like, it's not wrong, but something's happening.
No, nothing's wrong, but dreams are coming true. What do you want to do when you grow up? Are you wanting to be a producer, like music producer or a musician?
So,
or both or something
I've
completely
thought about
different?
It. Yeah, I've definitely thought about that. I love making music and I love writing and whatnot. I just think if I made it into a job, it would feel more like a chore than something that I enjoy doing. And
right.
I think that would be... not my favorite thing in the world. So like just to do something for fun, like no deadlines, know like you have to do this and this and this.
Right.
That for me, I think would be kind of a, be why, so I don't want to, basically it would be a reason that be I don't
preferred. Yeah. Yeah. You would rather just do it for fun. Maybe like an artist likes it and wants to buy it off of you or something, but you want to do it on the side. So then what are you majoring in? What are you wanting to do as the boring job?
Yeah. So, right now, majoring in communication disorders and sciences.
Oh yeah. You just said that.
Yeah. And, basically what I want to do, so I'm going to have to go to grad school, but I want to do speech language pathology. So it's like speech therapy. And I want to work with people who have had like strokes or traumatic brain injuries and help them learn how to communicate again.
That is very important work. And that's close to home. My great grandma, we call her Goose, but her name's Ruth. Ruth Tanner, which is where I get my name from. She has had, I don't know how many strokes, but she's had a couple and she's still all there, but it's the speech part.
Mm-hmm.
It's not finding the right words or using the wrong word in place of, and thinking, truly thinking that what the word that you chose is the correct word and like getting frustrated. And that's a big thing. Cause she'll like she'll want to ask to like talk to whoever we're talking to on the phone, and she'll say, I don't know, like, can I have the remote? And we give her the remote and she's like, no, the remote. And we're like, we gave you the remote. And then my grandma's gotten pretty good at, her daughter has gotten pretty good at like deciphering what she wants based on the situation. So she'll jump in and be like, no, she needs the phone.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the main things that's like, I think communication is like essential to life. I mean,
pretty much.
So I think to not have it or to have a problem with it is probably, I couldn't even imagine.
I know. Yeah. Even people that are deaf, people that are mute, there's still written language. There's still, and then blind, I mean, blind people, they can talk, but they've got Braille, so they can still like, you know, read literature. And yeah, there's always an option. But then when it's the brain,
it's so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't imagine. What about a fun story?
A fun story?
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those I have. What kind of fun stories are we thinking?
Well, I can think for a while and then edit out the silence.
I can tell you, okay, so my cousins are awful people. Well, I shouldn't say they're awful people. I love them dearly. They're my favorite people.
Well.
But they kind of suck in some aspects. And
name the aspects.
Well, they are pranksters. We all like to prank each other.
Okay.
And it's rare that we're all together at one time.
Right.
But there's a lot of us. Because when you come from a Greek family, you know your sixth cousins. Like, you know everybody.
That's crazy.
So my brother and I are twins. And so we go and visit our grandparents. And they lived in Arizona at the time. And they had Christmas, like a Christmas dinner at their house. And so all the cousins came. And we went. And I don't like cinnamon flavored things. I can do like cinnamon applesauce, but like hot tamales, like those kinds of things, I just can't do it.
Oh, cinnamon or like toothpaste, Red Hots?
Yeah, no, like absolutely not. I can't do it. Hmm. It just tastes, I don't like it. I don't know why, but.
It is like a burning sensation. Yeah.
So, I mean, my cousins know that. They know that I don't do cinnamon flavored things. And so they wanted to get our generation. So like, the people that were born. So my grandma is the youngest of six. And so we're all like the third generation.
The same group of cousins.
Yeah.
Not like the third cousin or the second cousin.
Right. But so like, we're all like the same generation of underneath. So some of them are like 30. And I think my brother and I are the youngest set. And so
the youngest set.
The youngest set.
Just a fun way to talk about twins.
Oh yeah. And so so basically they were like, we need to get a cousin like picture / video of us all doing a shot of Fireball. Now, I think I was like 16.
Okay. So you did not know what Fireball was.
Well, I did. I did. I knew that because I had smelled it and I said, absolutely not. I was like, that is cinnamon. It's not happening. And so I watched them. I really did. I watched them pour a shot of apple juice. And they're like, you can have this instead. And I was like, okay, fine. Let's do this. Let's take a picture, a video, whatever you guys want to do. So we all got in a line. They handed us our shot glasses, like my parents and the other cousins.
Right.
And unknowingly to me, they had switched my apple juice out for actual Fireball because they didn't believe me that I didn't like cinnamon.
So so you left your cup unattended or your shot glass unattended?
Well, yeah, it was family. And I guess, you trust no one.
Right. Trust no one.
Yeah.
I was expecting them to have already switched, like put Fireball in the apple juice container.
No.
And I was like, oh my God, those mad geniuses.
Yeah.
But you just did, like, you broke rule one of going to any party.
Right. Exactly. I broke rule one. Cause you know, you think you can trust people and then you can't.
No.
And so basically there's this video, where you can basically watch me think I'm about to drink apple juice. I smelled it as I was like drinking it. And I was like,
oh, no.
Oh my God. And it was like, like an oh no moment where I was just like,
but gravity this was is already... it.
Gravity had already, right. Everything had already taken place.
Yeah.
And I pushed them in the pool that was behind us. I was so mad.
Oh man.
They're the worst.
I wasn't expecting the pushing in the pool.
Yeah.
That's funny. What kind of pranks have you pulled on them? If you're a pranking family, are you a prankster?
I am the one with like some of the ideas, but my brother's the one that mainly pulls out the stops.
The brains of the operation.
Yeah, he's the one that does it, and so I could be like, I didn't know about it. That was all him.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I think my whole family. Like, my mom is a prankster. Like, she didn't like her college roommate when she was in college. And she lived in Arizona. And she found a dead snake in the middle of the road and hung it up in their bathroom. And the next day, she didn't have a roommate anymore. So, I mean.
I was about to say, after the snake, the roommate probably didn't like her either.
Yeah. I don't think that went over too well. So, you know, everybody in our family just kind of thinks it's funny to prank one another. And. It's a good time. It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. When it doesn't go too far.
Well, yeah. And I don't think it ever has.
Okay.
So that's a good thing.
What's your proudest scheme that you have come up with that your brother pulled off?
Probably. So we wanted to get back at my cousins.
Okay. So this
after
is
the
a
Fireball
incident. Okay.
So.
Follow-up prank.
Yeah. So they were really excited. We were having, you know, a celebration. And Greeks are big on lamb for celebration. It's like the classic meat that you eat.
Right. I don't like lamb.
Yeah. You know, it's each their own. And so, I mean, they were looking forward to this lamb. Like
right.
My cousins were.
Of course.
So they had been talking about it all week, like how much they were so excited, whatever. So when they weren't looking, because they left their plates unattended, I first took the lamb and I just hit it. And they figured it out, obviously.
Yeah, it's not a very good prank.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty bad.
Ha ha, so hit your food.
So then my brother and I took the lamb.
Yes.
And we poured, I think it was vodka, some kind of whiskey, and tequila in a container. And we put the lamb in the container.
Let it marinate.
Sure, marinate is a word we can use.
You pickled it.
We brined it.
Brined it.
There we go.
Brined it.
And we put it back on their plates, and they like looked at it, and they're like, "Wow, like this looks so juicy, and like looks so great." And they took a bite, and they were so mad. But that wasn't my brother and I weren't done. Alcohol is flammable.
So we set them on fire and they never messed with me again.
Yeah, no, we set the lamb on fire and they were not fans of that.
Okay.
They thought that was not funny. It was pretty funny.
I mean, it's dangerous, but it is funny.
It was outside.
It's outside, then it's fine.
Right, exactly.
It's fine. But what were they going to do? Still eat it?
Like, yeah, exactly. They wouldn't.
Why would they be
it.
Mad by the fire part?
I don't know.
Why would they be mad twice?
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. We should have them on.
Yeah, we should. They're interesting.
All right. I think we've got time because I only had this place reserved until 4 o'clock. So we kind of got screwed over with the power going out.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone that's wondering, yeah, it's August 30th. And so remember that like storm that we had? Yeah, the power went out in the entire Buzzard Hall. So started a little late. But before we go, I want to ask one more question, but I want to think of it first because I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
I did have one. Okay. I ask this question to a lot of people, if not everybody that's been on the podcast. What's your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory.
And it doesn't have to be childhood as we tend to think, like grade school or something like that. It can be high school, something more recent. It doesn't have to be child.
Yeah, I can do. So
just favorite memory.
Yeah. So we'll go with high school. Thanks for that idea. In 2015, my sophomore year of high school, I did cross country in high school, and we had gotten a new coach that year because ours had stepped down for some health issues. And like a week before sectionals, which is like right before state, he had a stroke.
Oh no!
So that's not the childhood memory that I'm fond of, but in case anybody was worried.
That's why I want to do it as my job.
But so we were all, I mean, it was pretty hard on us. And so we went to state, and I think one report had said they're not going to win because they've been affected by this loss. Like, they're not going to do well. They're not even going to place. Well,
that's so mean.
I know. They're like, because sectionals, I think we got third. Like, I don't think we did too well. And they're like, there's a very good chance they're not going to win. So we were kind of concerned about it, and we went to state. And we won. And that was like one of my favorite memories, was winning the state championship and like the drive home and like how happy we all were. And the best part was our football team was in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're going to be the second team in our school's history to bring home a state title.
You guys.
It was us. So yeah. We got to, and they paused the football game when we got back for us to walk on the field and show off our trophies. So that was also very fun.
But yes. There are new jocks now at the school.
That's exactly what we said.
Sorry, cool kids.
Yep. That's exactly it. But yeah, so we were the first girls team to win a state title for our school. And yeah, we got pretty cool rings to go with it. And
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. All right, well, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's
of
been
course
fun.
Of course. Well, goodbye.
All right.
The music you heard in today's episode was Out of Tune by a friend of mine named Schmeckledorf. That's Schmeckledorf. Check him out on SoundCloud. I'd like to again thank Evie for coming on. If you have a story you'd like to share or just talk about whatever's on your mind, email me at tmdevore@eiu.edu. There's a new episode every Friday or every other Friday or sometime during the week. I'm a college student, so don't expect consistency. Also, the Daily Eastern News is pretentious. Okay, bye!